morning. I'd like to thank the organizers for the opportunity to present this topic, and particularly in this thought-provoking session. Some of you have heard me present about USDA's plant breeding roadmap before it was presented last year. This year, I'd like to focus more on what that means in the context of the Office of the Chief Scientist and how we might keep interaction going on topics that the Chief Scientist is asked about or topics that plant breeders might feel that the Chief Scientist should know about in a two-way interaction. The slides that describe the original roadmap presentation, there are still such slides in here. I'll be going over them very quickly because many of you have seen them before. If you have any questions about them, I'll be here after the session. I'll be here all during the rest of the meeting. And indeed, any interaction that you'd like to have about plant breeding in the Office of the Chief Scientist, I would very much value the opportunity to talk with you all. So let's see if I know how to use this. It's fairly simple. The Office of the Chief Scientist is fairly new within USDA. It was called for by Congress in the 2008 Farm Bill. The Chief Scientist is always whoever is the Undersecretary for Research, Education, and Economics, which presently is Dr. Catherine Wojtecki. After the national elections, when we have a new president, that might be someone different. We will know when it happens. Jumping to the bottom here, let's see, can we use the pointer? Yes. Jumping to the bottom, the Office of the Chief Scientist has a permanent director, and it has senior advisors in six areas. The senior advisors rotate in and out their temporary positions. I occupy this plant position here. And as you can see, I'm not ready yet. There are positions for animal health, natural resources, food safety, nutrition, ag systems, and ag economics, the whole breadth of ag research. And these categories might be familiar to you because they're also the AFRI categories. The role of OCS is to support and advise the Chief Scientist, and also, as you'll see there, to foster collaboration, coordination, complementarity, and synergy between USDA agencies and between USDA and our state partners. And that's something that we've really seen in this morning's sessions over and over again, looking at who's collaborating on the research that we've heard about this morning. It's different agencies, different universities. Sadly enough, that isn't so visible at the national level. The undersecretary tends to hear a report from ARS, a report from NIFA, and we're proud of what we've done, but that granular level of synergy, complementarity, coordination tends to get lost. So that's another thing that we can maybe think together about, how to make that more visible at a national level, because Congress really wants to see that. They really want to see that we're working together. And they do ask the Chief Scientist and the Undersecretary, what about it? What can you tell us about it? There are five USDA agencies that conduct or support plant breeding: Ag Research Service, Forest Service, Natural Resource Conservation Service. Economic Research Service does economic and policy analysis related to plant breeding, and NIFA provides capacity and competitive funding. For the purposes of USDA, we had to come up with a definition of plant breeding that allowed all of those agencies to be included. So we're using human-aided development of plant cultivars with the needed characteristics. For this group, I put in one of the many variations on the genetic gain equation there, because that shows how plant breeding puts it all together. And you can help me think about this. Our colleagues in Washington and the public, of course, is not aware of the genetic gain equation. We know that that shows that plant breeding isn't just another ag science discipline. It's a place where many different ag science disciplines come together, where it puts it all together to actually make a result for food security and for the world. So if Congress is being asked, what about funding genomics? What about funding remote sensing? What about funding microbiome or this or that or the other? In a sense, plant breeding is one of the places where you can think about all that together. And I think it would be helpful to us if we were able to somehow use that as a communication tool in some way. And you can see that's a long way from a polished idea. It's just a germ, a seedling of an idea. All right, USDA's role in plant breeding, then, is when something has the nature of a public good. Breeding for a long-term horizon, success is unknown, or a market size may be too small. Since maybe the last 5-10 years now, we've been seeing a market increase in stakeholder attention to plant breeding, particularly as it is brought to our attention in Washington. And results of that, from USDA's response, were first the formation of the working group, the listening session, and the roadmap in the last several years. That information is posted now. And then what I'd like to visit with you most about today, pardon me, are opportunities for continuing conversation. First of all, what we learned from you all, the National Plant Germplasm System is considered by most stakeholders to be the most important. I'm sorry, I'm running out of voice here. I didn't expect that. Another one is the breadth of geographic coverage. The USDA's own sites and the sites that you work at together, ARS and the land-grant universities. Deliverables that the public values, the stakeholders value from USDA are cultivars, when they're needed for a public good situation, new tools and methods, and of course, funding. We've heard concerns from stakeholders about low total amounts of funding, short durations, student fundings, and USDA is challenged in its response because competitive funding has to go around to all of stakeholder concerns. And we don't really, at this time, know how to do those longer-term funding cycles without serious trade-offs to other things. And that leads us then to more questions. This is one of the slides that some of you have seen before that I'll race over. One of the things we learned from the roadmap process is that USDA's own planning processes are pretty robust. USDA's own tradition of listening to its stakeholders is pretty robust, and there wasn't much in the way of surprise there. So these are familiar, and again, I'd be glad to go back to this if we need to afterwards. Anybody happen to have a cough drop in the house? Again, I didn't expect this. Might help, might save my life. Thank you, sir. All right. Stop here for a moment because ERS has just published a study on how to use crop genetic resources for adaptation to climate change, and they're going to be looking at international agreements. The bottom line on this one is the most important. How eligible topics and total funding are determined within NIFA's funding programs. And this is where stakeholders asked us to try and increase our funding. Total funding for each one of these named programs is determined by Congress. And total funding is determined by Congress. The actual funding topics are determined in the first group by the states, and in the second also largely by Congress. We do have some flexibility in the competitive grants. Looking farther ahead, transfer of new knowledge, new traits, new situations. This, again, is from the roadmap process itself, and it was in last year's presentation. This is where I'm hoping to get to today. With my time and voice allow. We heard from you about some issues that are broader than what USDA itself can do, and we're wondering how we can help respond. One is recruitment and education. USDA doesn't actually have a recruitment mandate, but how can we help get involved to educate more young people and draw more people into our sciences? We heard a lot about intellectual property rights from different stakeholders with different viewpoints. We heard a lot about public-private balance. What's the most favorable balance of investment in plant breeding and then funding whatever the model is? How do we get it funded? Some of the ways we're responding is this week on Wednesday, we're hosting an informational session on IPR right after noon on Wednesday with a discussion. We hope it will be of value in informing other discussions about IPR so that everyone can start on a shared foundation of accurate information. And please come and tell us if what you hear is useful, how we might do it better. Or then for public-private balance, one of the issues there is to how do we know if all the bases are covered? It's something we constantly hear in Washington is, should Congress fund this when the private sector is funding it? Private sector can do variety development. Private sector can do plant breeding. How do we respond to that? And one suggestion that's come to USDA from its National Agricultural Research Extension Education and Economics Advisory Board is to do an annual round table on public-private balance. And we're interested indeed in helping provide leadership on that, but it's challenging to find a mechanism because we have to ensure inclusiveness. And in order to do that in a way that is acceptable is more difficult than I thought. So your ideas on how we might establish a national conversation on that with all the challenges that would yet be constructive, your ideas would be very welcome. Can't say we could take them all, but we'd certainly try to think them through. Recruitment, raising the profile. One of the things that we're doing is that we've been approached by the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy to work with them on raising the profile of ag science and education. And this grew out of our conversation based on your input to the plant breeding roadmap. It started with plant breeding. It's now been broadened in scope to all of ag science, and as you'll see, come on, that little mouse, whoa, back up. Here, OSU, I'll just talk it through. Third line from the top there, OSTP is interesting in encouraging cross-sector sharing of ideas for how we can bolster recruitment and retention of students in ag-related STEM fields. We're excited about this simply because in my entire career, I think it's the first time the White House has ever asked a question about plant breeding. Even though it has now become expanded to all of ag science, that's fine. Anything we can do there to help sort of raise the level of national attention. And then we hope that this will end up in some public relations that will reach groups that we haven't reached before. Now, the way OSTP works is they're looking for other organizations that are doing things to raise the profile of ag research, things that other organizations are doing, beginning to do new initiatives or expanded initiatives to raise the profile of ag or support ag research and education. And they then take that to the White House, to the president, and say, look, this is a really important national topic. All these groups are getting behind it. We should do something. And then encourage the president to include that in future budgets. In this administration, we, of course, only have one more chance, but we do have that one chance. And then one reason that we're glad to be working with OSTP here is that we're hoping that we'll learn from it on how we might interact with the same office in future administrations. Whether or not we'll have that opportunity, we don't know. And it somewhat depends on all of you. Again, it seems to be coming to Washington is not a waste of time, even though it may not seem like it gets rapid response. It does eventually make a difference, and it's one of the few things it does. If you have any questions about this White House initiative, here's the email for my colleague, Elizabeth Stolberg, or you can email me, and I can get your comments to her, any comments and questions about that. 1 minute left, and I think we'll make it. Not to have a broad discussion like I would like, but perhaps we can have that at lunch or during the rest of the week, because I would love to talk about it ideas or questions. Top question there is, the last 2 years have seen a lot of changes. Would plant breeding stakeholders say the same things to USDA now as they would have 2 years ago? One of the good things about going through that roadmap process is that it gives us an established, justified context to continue the conversation and to continue reporting up, so we don't have to let it just be that static document that's on the web. We are, as I've said, we being the Office of the Chief Scientist, whatever the White House is interested in or whatever Congress is interested in, they turn to the Chief Scientist and ask, what are you doing about it? And there are some things that plant breeding isn't really relevant to, but whenever it is relevant, I want to make sure that it's visible. We've been asked about urban agriculture. Well, one thing that urban agriculture is certainly going to need is germplasm, genetic resources, because you've got a whole range of environments there that plant breeding in many cases hasn't addressed, and it may also be a way of recruiting people. Crowdsourcing and citizen science, some of you have heard me ask about this. I'm not sure if there's ways that we can get involved in that or not, but if you can think of any that would work, let us know. One that's on the horizon from the National Institutes of Health is reproducibility. And what we've seen in today's session is plant breeding is not about reproducibility. It's about what to do about variability, how to analyze variability and get knowledge out of that, and lead to scientific progress and rigor. So I'd be very interested in your thoughts about that as well. Thank you. Thank you for your attention, and thank you for the lifesaver.
Your voice doesn't need any more.